This is the Dan Abrams Law and Crime Podcast with SiriusXM Radio. Professor Lori Levinson is a former assistant U.S. attorney in Los Angeles, a law professor at Loyola Law School in Los Angeles, an old pal from back in the O.J. Simpson days. And thank you very much for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to talk to you, Dan.
Mr. Barr, who starts this off by saying that he doesn't know anything about the investigation, sure seems to sound like he knew a heck of a lot about the investigation.
I wrote the memo as a former attorney general who has often weighed in on legal issues of public importance, and I distributed it broadly so that other lawyers would have the benefit of my views. My memo was narrow, explaining my thinking on a specific obstruction of justice theory under a single statute that I thought, based on media reports, the special counsel might be considering. The memo did not address or in any other way question the special counsel's core investigation into Russian efforts to interfere in the election, nor did it address other potential obstruction of justice theories or argue that some have wrongly suggested that a president can never obstruct justice. I wrote it myself on my own initiative without any assistance and based solely on public information.
He says, listen to that. Today he says he just based it on what Mueller might be considering. That's not the way that this memo reads. That's not what this memo says. So what do you make? It feels to me like people aren't focusing enough on the words of his memo, which is much more definitive and radical than the person who's testifying today.
You know, what I find in this is that it's politics. I mean, I do understand why people wonder about the obstruction theory for Trump's encounter with Comey. That would be an unusual type of indictment, although I'm not saying that it could never happen. We would need more facts than we have now. I just wonder why somebody goes out of their way in a high-profile situation where we don't know all the facts, where it's politically charged, and says, by the way, let me just do a shot across the bow to say why you can't do this. You know, from my perspective, you want to lay out what the legal issues are and say, we need to know more, and I would be troubled if you didn't have that additional information. But I think Barr was entering into the realm of politics, and now he's back in another situation, and he wants to back off from it because it'll affect the political decision of whether he's attorney general.
I'm going to read another piece from this memo that Barr wrote in June of 18. A fatal flaw with Mueller's regime, and one that greatly exacerbates its chilling effect, is that while Mueller would criminalize any act corruptly influencing a proceeding, Mueller can offer no definition of corruptly. I mean, where is he getting this from? He's saying, well, you know, I don't know anything about the investigation. I'm just basing it on public facts. And he's now defining the Mueller regime and describing what Mueller would and wouldn't criminalize. I mean, right? Isn't this more than puzzling?
Well, you know, the memo is sort of a type of advocacy. I think that
it is advocacy.
See it for. Right. And it would have been fine, in my mind, actually, if he had written something like, look, here are the open questions.
Yes.
The question is, when Trump spoke this way, was he just being clueless Trump, or was he doing it actually to try to influence the investigation? If he's doing it to influence, that would be corrupt. If he wasn't, then it may not meet the standard. If you wrote something like that, people might disagree. But I would say, okay, you have the right to write that, and it'll start the discussion. I think what you're focusing on is that with the little slights to Mueller and the way it's framed and the initiative to bring it, it's much more of a piece of advocacy before he or others actually do know the facts.
He goes on in this memo, but Mueller provides no standard for determining what motives are legal and what motives are illegal. How he knows
this is very, very odd because the timing of it is odd. It is assuming that Mueller is making that the focus of his investigation, that he is bringing the charges, that he doesn't have any standards. And that is, I think, designed intentionally to sort of stop Mueller in his tracks and say, go a different direction. Don't be focusing on Trump, at least not for this aspect of the case. Once again, I don't know the motivations for that other than to be friendly to Trump or people who support Trump, because it doesn't really help inform the discussion. There were many other memos out at the time. Myself questioned, can you bring an obstruction charge when I don't know if the grand jury was already seated or there were ongoing proceedings? There were lots of legitimate issues to raise. The question in my mind is, why is this raised in a way to attack the Mueller investigation, to undermine it at that stage? Was it really just about these charges or the bigger issue of whether Mueller should be a special counsel?
But my concern is that he's saying something very different today. His old pal Bob, 30 years, you know, I really am troubled by the difference in the person who is testifying today and the person who wrote this memo in June of 2018. And as Lori Levinson, my esteemed guest, points out, there's an interesting question as to why did he write this memo in June of 2018? I mean, Lori, it wasn't just I could understand if someone wants to send a page or two, say, hey, guys, here are my thoughts. FYI, if you want to talk more about this, let me know. This took a lot of time. I mean, he even just said he wrote the whole thing himself. This is a 19-page This is a deep memo that must have taken a long time to work on that he decided he needed to send.
Dan, that's a really big question, and I don't know if he's been asked that directly, which is, why did you write it? What was it about your role or your prior role? What was it that was happening that troubled? Who talked to you before you wrote it? Who did you let know that you were going to write it? Whose views did you solicit as you write it? You know, Barr is a very smart man. He has a tremendous amount of experience. He probably has the credentials to be the attorney general. What we're seeing here, though, are good people who have, you know, these strengths somehow have been getting compromised throughout the process because the Justice Department, frankly, has been compromised by the politics.
Yep. And, you know, you see a guy, and I've said this before on the show, a guy like Christopher Wray, who runs the FBI, who was appointed by President Trump, who it is clear time and again has felt the need to defend the FBI against attacks, partisan attacks against them. And, you know, the one thing I will say is that one would hope, because as I've said on the show many times, I view myself as pro-law enforcement. And I don't think you can say you are pro-law enforcement and then just constantly attack the FBI and the U.S. Attorney in the Southern District of New York and anyone else who decides that in good faith they believe an investigation is warranted or charges are warranted. I don't see how you can be pro-law enforcement, but that's for another day. But Christopher Wray has been defending the FBI, and I hope that William Barr will do the same thing with regard to the Department of Justice.
Well, one does. And, you know, I hope, and I actually have some confidence that he might just rise above it. That's been the problem in my mind throughout this administration, is that they have not treated the professionals as professionals. I have a tremendous amount of respect for the FBI. It doesn't mean that everybody within the agency is good and always on the right course, but in general, they've earned the reputation of being the star, you know, law enforcement agency in our country. And I think it's demoralizing, but I also think it's demoralizing some of the things that the White House has said about the CIA and the intelligence community, and frankly, anybody who tends to disagree with the White House. So what Barr's trying to do now, in my mind, is saying, you know, when I was playing politics, I was sucked into politics. But believe me, I know what the role is once I get back into the Justice Department, and I'm going to defend, at least to the extent I can, the independence of the Justice Department. And it's going to be up to the senators to say whether they believe that.
Look, and I think we've said this before. I mean, I don't think there's any question he's going to get confirmed. But what happens, do you think, if Mueller decides in a report, let's assume Mueller is not going to pursue any criminal charges against the president, in a report wants to lay out why he believes the president would be guilty of the crime of obstruction of justice and has obstructed justice, what does Barr do?
Well, then he's going to actually, I think, have a tremendous amount of pressure on him. I do believe the stories that are leaking out, that the White House is going to try to get the Justice Department to sanitize the report, not release it, look at privileges. And so it's going to be on Barr to try to see how much he can resist, and nobody has been able to yet, those types of demands on him. It's really the question of whether he's going to allow sunshine to be, you know, had on these reports, or whether he's going to turn to someone like Adam Schiff and say, sorry, there's nothing I can do, but if you have a House report, maybe you can release that.
You know, I've said from the beginning that I did not think that that Mueller's team would subpoena the president, that even viewing it through the typical way that a criminal investigation in the federal system is pursued, that if you view the president as a target of the investigation, and I think that there's just no way to view him as other than that, then you would not typically subpoena that person in front of the grand jury, because typically it means you don't just subpoena someone to force them to invoke their Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination in front of a grand jury. And so I've always said that I don't think that they're going to subpoena him. But it is clear that William Barr does not believe that the president should be subpoenaed, could be subpoenaed. So what happens if Mueller does want to subpoena him now? He's been following up, looking for follow-up questions. The president's saying no. He now seeks a subpoena. What happens?
Well, I'm not as convinced by as you that the president or any president cannot be subpoenaed before the grand jury.
No, I'm saying he could be. But I'm saying I don't think he will be here.
Well, he might not be. But I think that, you know, the question is, can we believe Barr when he now says he's going to let Mueller do it his way? I wonder if, because of the reaction to this memo, he's actually going to take more of a hands-off approach and say, look, before I became head of the department, I had some strong views, but as I represented during my confirmation hearings and to individual senators, I'm taking the hands off. If it's not illegal, I'm going to let Mueller do it. It's his judgment. I don't know as much about the case. But I don't think anybody, Dan, can answer that.
Yeah.
Because what we've seen is that you tell me which way the political winds are blowing, and I might be able to give you a better prediction.
Yeah. Look, I want to be clear. I think as a legal matter, a president could be subpoenaed. I think that if you look at Clinton v. Jones, you look at Nixon, you know, there is no way, I think, to interpret the language in those opinions together and say that a president could not be subpoenaed. I just am saying that I don't think he will be, but I don't know. Like anybody else, I wouldn't be so definitive the way that Mr. Barr was in his memo here. Here's another piece of sound from William Barr today talking about the question of whether this is a witch hunt in response to Lindsey Graham's questions.
Mueller, you say you've known Mueller a long time. Would you say you have a close relationship with Mr. Mueller?
I would say we were good friends.
Would you say that you understand him to be a fair-minded person?
Absolutely.
Do you trust him to be fair to the president and the country as a whole?
Yes.
When his report comes to you, will you share it with us as much as possible?
Consistent with the regulations and the law, yes.
Do you believe Mr. Mueller would be involved in a witch hunt against anybody?
I don't believe Mr. Mueller would be involved in a witch hunt.
You know, that's a pretty big, I mean, look, it seems such an obvious answer. You would think that I wouldn't be sitting here saying, whoa, he says it's not a witch hunt, as if that's somehow newsworthy. But considering how often the president has described it as a witch hunt, it does seem kind of newsworthy, right?
Right. I mean, that's the great irony in this. When you have somebody like Lindsey Graham basically propping up Mueller by using Barr, you kind of wonder what's going on. But I think, you know, again, for political expediency, they'd like to see Barr in the position because they think maybe he's the best that they can do. And to do that and satisfy the public and other senators, they got to get him to embrace the very person, Mueller, who's been under attack by all these Republicans throughout the investigation. All of a sudden, they're saying, we love you because you love Mueller and you'll leave him alone. How much people believe about that, it's a question. I do tend to think, though, that the prior relationship stand between Barr and Mueller and others in the Justice Department will be important.
I agree.
I give value to that. Having been, as you know, in the U.S. Attorney's Office, once you know people, it's much harder to attack them in a cavalier manner, even if the president wants you to.
And well, also in particular, once you know someone like Mueller. I mean, again, you have these people attacking Mueller, ignoring the, you know, the sterling history and his sterling reputation and the reason that he was asked to extend his position in the FBI for a couple of extra years. I think it was in 2011 by unanimous vote in the Senate. I mean, it's because Mueller is who he is. And that's the problem that they have here is that, boy, finding people to say, you know, Mueller's a corrupt schmo, you really have to be a fringe character.
Right. I think that's the difference between having this Whitaker guy become the attorney general and Barr. You know, you may not agree with everything Barr says and certainly not everything he's done, but he brings the experience, credential, and most importantly, the relationships. And that's what, you know, you sort of have to bet on that in the core, this is a person who has a closer relationship with someone like Mueller than he does with Donald Trump.
Yep. Yep. I think that's well said. This is another piece of sound. I think this is maybe the most newsworthy item to come from the hearing today is when Barr was asked about Jeff Sessions recusing himself from the Russia investigation, which the president has repeatedly said he should not have done. What was Barr's position on it? Let's listen.
Do you believe that Attorney General Sessions had a conflict because he worked on the Trump campaign?
I'm not sure of all the facts, but I think he probably did the right thing recusing himself.
You know, the president can't be happy hearing that. I mean, right?
Right. I mean, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall when the president was convinced to select William Barr as this candidate, because this and his relationship with Mueller and his comments about, you know, respecting the rule of law and his comments about the FBI, that's not what we hear our president say. So either somebody really convinced him or he realized that he didn't have a lot of other options, or the senators themselves said, look, we can handle this. Just be quiet. Bring in somebody with the credentials of Barr, because if, in fact, then he does push back against Mueller, people will say it wasn't because of politics. It was because of he does the right thing.
Well, look, and again, I want to believe that about Barr, right? I mean, I want to believe, I have to say, I was surprised to see some of his comments about the investigation. I was surprised as I read this memo at how the conclusions he was drawing without having any facts to back them up. And yet I still have faith that anyone out there who is Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, whatever they are, that if you care about the way our legal system works, and I think Bill Barr falls into that category squarely, that if you care about how the legal system works, you're going to end up at odds with Donald Trump.
Right. And I hope so, is what I would say. The one thing that has really troubled me so much with this administration is the attack on the rule of law in many different ways. So I don't know. You know, maybe Barr fell into the Trump, you know, charisma at some point a couple of years ago, a year ago, in the attack on Mueller. Maybe he was just inarticulate in the way that he raised really might be legitimate questions. But now he wants a job. And to get this job, you can't just sort of be the mouthpiece for Donald Trump.
Yeah. And I will read again one more quote from the memo that Barr wrote. And, you know, he says that troubled me. For decades, the department has been routinely attacked both for its failure to pursue certain matters and for its decisions to move forward on others. Especially when a House of Congress is held by an opposing party, the department is almost constantly being accused of deliberately scuttling enforcement in a particular class of cases usually involving the environmental laws. There are claims that cases are not being brought or are being brought to appease an administration's political constituency, or the department is failing to investigate a matter in order to cover up its own wrongdoing or to protect the administration. Department is bombarded with requests to name a special counsel to pursue this or that matter, which again feels like an effort to minimize the appointment of a special counsel here, despite the fact that he said when he heard about the appointment of Mueller that he was pleased about it. And, you know, this is his conclusion, basically saying, you know, we need to be particularly careful, which I think is true. And a final point on this, I just want to put a period on this. You had mentioned before, and Barr talks about this in the memo, if there is a recommendation for obstruction of justice or whatever they do with that particular crime, it's not just going to be based on Comey. There's no way Robert Mueller is going to say, I believe there was obstruction of justice because of what happened with James Comey, and that's it. This has been the Dan Abrams Law and Crime Podcast with SiriusXM Radio.